me.
I will call upon your name.
Jeff Stangler. They help him. Rooster. Atta boy. Go ahead. As they pass the offering basket, you know what to do, so just be obedient to whatever God asks. You want to? Oh, okay. What age? All the kids 3 to 6 can go with Grandma Arlene. 3 to 6. And all the 3 to 6-year-olds can go to Grandma Arlene, and she'll do some things real quick while we look into the Word just a tiny bit. We forgot about the offering, so they're kind of walking around. There's some more. Go ahead. But I wish we didn't have to do that at all, to be honest, but I know how it works. It's the old Henry Vanderbush saying, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Right? I love that. That's great. All right. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's see. First Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father. David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your king, your servant king, in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for the long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you long life. Then Solomon awoke and realized that it had been a dream, and he returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and then he gave a feast for all his court. Lord, we thank you for your word. I ask, Father, today that you'll take tidbits out of there and allow me to share them of what you desire for us this day. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to do that. And we ask your blessing and your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Solomon followed his father in doing what his father had done. And one of the things that happened for Solomon is that he got the privilege of living the way God wanted him to. He had the privilege of doing what God asked. And because he stepped into this role of being a priest, he ended up having a great favor with the Lord. I don't know about you, and I'm not here to say that no matter what you ask or don't ask for, God's just going to be faithful and do whatever he did for Solomon. What I am going to say this is, when God asks you to do something, do it faithfully to him. Don't do it for any other reason. Don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. Do it faithfully to him, because when you do it for him, God sees that. And when if all you want is to get the accolades of men around you, or men and women and people around you, you'll be very disappointed. But I like what verse 3 says. The Lord wanted a name for a temple to be built. He wanted his name to be there. Well, under the Old Testament, that was a place. In the New Testament, that's you and me. Amen. You and I are the temple he's building. Amen. And all of us together make a bigger temple. Because we need each other to be this house that God wants to build, where his name dwells forever, not just when things are going well. We have a problem in America where when things go south, so does our relationship with God. That needs to end. That needs to come to an end. That needs to come to a place where we realize that God designed you and I to have his name dwell in our spirit forever. It was never meant to be put in and pulled back out because he wasn't doing his part. Had nothing to do with you, obviously. But the reality is that he didn't design us to put God in us and then pull him out, and then only when we need him do we stick him back in, kind of like a cassette tape or an old CD or whatever it is you want to play in your car. When you want to listen to a certain song, you slip that in, and you bebop down the road to it, and you have a great time doing it. But when you're tired of that, you slip it out, and you put something else in. God isn't your CD player. He doesn't want you just to play his song only when things are going well. He wants you to be faithful to do what he asks you to do, no matter what's going on around you. And he says, I want you to build me a place, a temple, that has not been built for the name of the Lord. Now that was obviously a place, like I said, in the Old Testament, that was an actual place where he wanted to build a temple. And Solomon, verse 3, look at that. Solomon showed his love. He didn't just talk about it. I'm honestly frustrated with the amount of Christians that talk about loving God, but they never do anything about it. We need to do both. We need to talk about our love for God, but then we need to demonstrate our love for God. And if our demonstration of our love for God doesn't match what we say, we better be quiet and start walking instead of talking. Because people are hearing what you're saying and they're watching what you're doing, and if they don't match up, people are going to say, what's up with that? So the reality is that God never intended my life to be able to speak one thing and to live something else. He intended my life to demonstrate what I believe by how I live, and then when the opportunity comes, I get to speak forth what I just believed, what I lived out. And the reason that has to happen that way is because the reality is this: it's way too easy to talk about God and not follow him. How many of you know somebody about someone, but you've never met them before, but you can tell me all kinds of things about them because you've only read about them, or have you only heard about them? The reality is that when you and I only have heard about God, or maybe even just read tidbits or things about God, but he's not here where he comes out and demonstrate it by how I live, then guess what's going to happen? People aren't going to believe you. Young people, you need to hear this. It's way more important that you live for Jesus than it is that you talk for Jesus. Because once you live for him, it'll be a whole lot easier to talk about him. Let me say that again. When you live for him, it's a whole lot easier to talk about him because you're talking out of your experience. Hold your finger there and turn over to 1 John 1. I like this scripture. I don't know. Ever since I found it, I've always enjoyed it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. That which they have heard, they have seen, and they have looked at with their looked at and their hands have touched, this we proclaim. If you've never had any experience talking to God, walking with God, listening to God, hearing God's voice, don't talk about him. Why would you go around talking about somebody you really don't know? You might say, well, somebody might get saved. Wonderful. God knows that. He knows how to bring people across their path that are living the way they're supposed to. God is not going to let them get away without an opportunity. Way more important that we live out what we believe more than what we say. Because once you live, your life will talk. Now, there are opportunities to talk, and I pray that we can back it up with good living. Solid living. Living that God loves and he can't wait to bless. But more importantly, what I see happening is we get people saved. It's way too easy to talk about what would just happen to us, but we have no evidence of living for Christ. And that's a tragedy. We need to demonstrate what we live and do it. And so going back to 1 Kings, look at what Solomon did. Verse 3 again, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt offerings on the high places. So in other words, Solomon was someone that demonstrated what he believed by how he lived. Now here's the sad part about Solomon. He didn't end well. So just because you start a race good doesn't mean you'll always end a race well. So the reality is, for myself, I could start out as a pastor, great. But what's my finish line look like? That's what needs to talk. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And how are you going to finish the race that God has given you? How are you going to live tomorrow morning when you wake up and you don't feel like going to work? How are you going to wake up? How are you going to finish the day today when God says, hey, Jeff, guess what? I need you to go over here and talk to so-and-so. But Lord, they're having cake at Harold's house at 4 o'clock. There's no but about it. God knows I don't need cake. It's obvious when you stand this way. Yeah, but if men are like levels, bud, our bubble's in the middle. Right? That means we're in the level. I don't know how much better it could get. A level's level when the bubble's in the middle. Right? That's right, Howard. Thank you. But he wanted his name to be there forever, and Solomon showed his love by walking according to the statutes. And I find that really interesting. that it was demonstrated more so than just verbal. Down to verse 6. Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day." Faithfulness is something that can be from generation to generation. And no matter what, God is faithful. You know, you may have not had a great example as a father or mother or a person in your life, but you know what? When Jesus Christ comes into your life, you've got the greatest example to follow. You've got the most faithful father there ever was. You've got the most faithful person that has ever walked the earth as an example. So guess what? Whether I got it as a son from my mom and dad or not doesn't matter. When I come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I've got the greatest example before me. And because of that, guess what? I can learn to be faithful. I can learn to be consistent. I can learn to walk faithfully with my God. I can learn to run my race, all the miles of the race that God has given me. I can run my race faithfully. Why? Because I'm following somebody who did that. That even in Jesus' darkest hour in the garden, he absolutely said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And he kept on going because his race wasn't done. Your race and my race is not done. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get tempted by the world. Don't allow all those things that the world offers you to be a distraction from following God. Yes, it will be lonely. You'll not have a whole lot of kids coming up and say, "Oh, I'm so glad you're walking with Jesus. Man, you're just a jewel in the rough. Boy, I tell you, you're just great. Yeah, you know what? I hope you have fun doing it alone because I ain't going to go with you." And that's what's going to happen. You're going to have a whole lot of people just back away all of a sudden and pull back from you just because you're not doing what they do. But guess what? You've got the King of Kings and you've got the Lord of Lords. You've got all that the Holy Spirit gave you to help you walk that walk. And I want to encourage you to absolutely stay in that. Be faithful. Allow God to be faithful to you. So then he says in verse 7, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart and govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern his people of this great people of yours?" You see what he asked for? He didn't ask for fame or fortune. He asked for wisdom and understanding. Boy, I like that. Because how many times do you need wisdom and understanding in the days that you walk? More than money. Now, it wouldn't hurt if there was a little extra to help along, but hey, more importantly, if God gives you wisdom and understanding, you might not spend foolishly what you got. So, wisdom and understanding is good. And that's what he prayed for. He says, "Give me a heart, a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this wonderful people of yours?" Now, because of that, God gave him another blessing. He gave him finances and other things. But you know what? There again, I want to emphasize, just because God gave it to you doesn't mean you can go off and do whatever you want with it. Has anybody ever taken something that your parents gave you and went out and misused it and brought it home in shambles and said, "Hey, Mom and Dad, look, what happened? I misused it." And that's not why they gave it to you. You just learned that you weren't responsible. Well, God gives us the very things that we need. He gives us those things not to use any way we want, but to be used according to what he wants done. Because I want you to jump down with me down to verse 14. And he says, "And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you long life." So no matter what God promises me, No matter what has happened up to this point in my life, I can't go back and change what's already happened. But I can determine what happens before me through obedience to His word. And if I don't obey, don't plan on the blessings being there. God did not pull me out of a miry pit, set my feet on a rock to stay, only for me to take myself off that rock and walk any way I want, and then still expect God to bless it. That isn't what He designed me for. That's not what He designed you for. He designed me when I get pulled out of the miry pit of which where I came from, and He set my feet on a rock to stay, that's where I'm to stay. And here's the interesting thing. In Matthew chapter 7, the Bible gives us two examples of storms of life. One guy was wise and one guy was foolish. And the one guy that was wise, it says of him, it says, he who hears his word and obeys will be like the wise guy who built his house upon the rock. And he who is foolish will be like the foolish man will be like the man who built his house upon the sand. But the difference was, they both had storms. Didn't matter where you built your house, whether it was in the sand or on the rock, there were still storms. And the storms came against those houses. So just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to have storms. You're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have challenges. And when the storms come, you've got to learn to stand true to what you know. Because if you keep your eye on the storm will cause you to say, well, we better call the neighbors. Oh, I better call the weatherman. Let's see what the weathermen are saying. Oh, man, I don't, boy, if that's coming, I don't know what we're going to do. Pretty soon, you're all caught up in the storm. It's like, why am I doing that? Jesus said He'd put me on the rock, and if I stay on the rock, He said He'd be faithful to me no matter what comes against me. And the winds blew against the house that had on the rock. The winds and the waves blew against the house on the sand, and there's only one that collapsed. One stayed. Which one stayed? The man that heard the word of God and did the word of God. He's the one that stood upon the rock. He's the one that you want to follow. He's the one that was the wise guy that absolutely fulfilled what needed to be done. Solomon did not stand the test of time. He started out well, but he didn't finish well. How come? Because he got distracted. He got attached to things that God never meant him to attach to. You want to know how you and I can stay on that rock? How you and I can be that one that stays firm. We have to not be observing the storms that are around us. If the news gets you all flustered up, quit watching it and get your eyes in the Word of God. If your neighbors are bugging you, take your eyes off them and put them on Jesus. How you doing, buddy? Give me five. That was intermission. I love it that kids feel free to come and go. I like that. But the reality is that if I'm going to stand strong, I've got to stay on this rock no matter what comes against me, because the storm came against the good house on the rock and the storm came against the house on the sand. The same storm, the same water. Isn't it interesting when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples? The same water could be calm and cool as glass and be beautiful, and yet at the same time, storms can come up in that same water, the same boat, and almost destroy it. Life is that way. Life has the ability to come against you, but what are you really standing on? What are you relying on? Because if you're not relying on Jesus Christ, the storm will prove you where you're at. So if you don't feel like you're weathering the storm very well, go back to your roots. Go back to your roots of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and get Him as the anchor of your life, Him the foundation of your life. And I promise you, if you do that, no matter what comes against you, God will promises will come true. But if you don't stay true to Him, don't plan on His promises being true. Just the way it is. But if you want to repent in the midst of going wrong, come back in, you know? I better quit. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you and praise you today. We want to thank you, Lord God, that you're faithful, you're true. You're a strong tower we can run to. Thank you that you help us in our best day and our worst day. You're there. But Lord, you didn't leave us in our worst day. You always pulled us out and you always get us going on the right direction. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that we'll have discipline in our life where we'll want to walk with you and we'll want to spend time with you. We'll want to read your word and do what you ask. So Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you for the privilege of being able to do that. And Lord, we just pray that from this day on, we'll have a great season of faithful followers. Disciplined ones, disciples, ones that have been trained by your word, ones that have been faithful to your word, and it'll bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, today for how you're going to establish yourself again and again in my life and in this congregation's life. And for those that are visiting today, Lord, we just pray that you establish yourself so great and so deep in them that wherever they go, they continue to be contagious and just spread that contagiousness all over that church and over their place where they live. So, Father, we just look forward to watching you do great and mighty things. And, Lord, we do want to be faithful. We want to be faithful followers. We want to be consistent followers. We want to consistently walk with you every day and never give the devil another foothold, never give the devil another opportunity to handicap our lives so that we can't do what you created us for. So, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you that you'll lead us and guide us in that direction. And we just honor you this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you feel like your life isn't right, just go to him. Talk to him. It's not hard. He won't reject you. He'll welcome his arms open and say, I'm glad you're here. He loves to do that. Now then consistently walk with him time and time again. I don't know what they got back there, but we're going to bless the cake for sure.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what an iwi is?
Iwi is, no.
You don't know?
No.
In Montana, they hired a new radio announcer and they had stuff for sale. And the guy had 25 iwis for sale. Nobody could figure it out. He didn't know what it was.
Right.
I looked at your cake back there and there's iwis.
Oh!
What it is, it's a U.
It's a U. Yeah. Okay. That's good. On the cake back there, there's a bunch of iwis. That's good, Harold. I love that. Oh, shoot. Somebody just got it. Yeah. Somebody else just got it. Yeah. That's all right. We can all be slow at moments. Should we do that before we eat or after we eat? Yeah. Do you want to eat first or do you want to get water baptized? Okay, come on. Okay, let's go for it. We got a water baptism today too, so while they're doing. Anybody else that hasn't been water baptized and wants to, sure can. Aaron and Lindy, why don't you guys come up and. Yeah. Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Amen. Would you write that down for her? Just write that down. We'll send that with you. Jump right up in there. We won't. You heard about the guy that was water baptized. The pastor took him down to the river, and he was going to water baptize him, and so he put him down and brought him up, and he said, did you find Jesus yet? And he said, no. He put him down, held him a little longer, brought him up, and he said, did you find Jesus yet? And he says, no. He put him down and held him a long time. He come up sputter and spatter, and he says, did you find Jesus yet? And he said, no. Are you sure this is where he fell in? Have her sit on her butt. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll help you. Ooh, is it warm?
No.
It's all Aaron's fault. No, go ahead, stay right there. Cool. All righty, well, Jennifer, you guys want to do it? We'll just have you take one hand and put over your nose, grab the wrist with the other hand, and then they'll grab onto your wrist, and when we baptize you, we're going to baptize you in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Isn't that cool? Jesus not only saved us, but he gave his life so that when we're water baptized, we're laid down our life and we resurrect to live a new life for him. Amen. Okay, Jennifer. That's right. Amen. Woo! Woo-hoo! Okay, grab those two. There we go.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Cool. Don't get water in the carpet. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Cool. Anybody else want to be water baptized? Anybody else? All right. If anybody wants to be water baptized at any time, just give us a holler. We'll do it. We can do it during the week. It's not doesn't have to be a Sunday thing. It can be done any time. It still works, yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. Awesome. Good job, Jennifer. We're proud of you. Jesus is going to be victorious in her life. Amen. Amen. Well, we bless the cake and everything else that we get to partake of and enjoy each other's fellowship. God's blessing. Thanks for coming. Be a part of today. If you don't know who you're sitting by, please be friendly. Nothing worse than going to a church when nobody is really friendly. So.